بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of عمدة الأحكام and حديث number 38 عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أعطيت خمسا لم يعطهن أحد من الأنبياء قبلي. مريت جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been given five things which were not given to anyone else before me. نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. Allah made me victorious by awe for a distance of 1 month's journey. وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And the earth has been made for me and for my followers a place for praying, anything to perform tayammum, purifying meaning. فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّ. Therefore anyone of my followers can pray whenever the time of prayer is due. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمِ. And the booty has been made halal, lawful for me, yet it was not lawful for anyone else before me. وَلَمْ تُحَلَّ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. وَأَعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَى قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. I have been given the right of intercession on the day of resurrection, and every prophet used to be sent to his nation, but I have been sent to all mankind. The narrator is Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله عنهما, and we spoke regarding his biography, three hadiths before this hadith, and the Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنهما mentions the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke to them regarding some of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him and upon his ummah from certain favors and characteristics which were not given to prophets before or to their nations before. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about this as a manifestation for the favor of Allah, making that known and in order to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So he said here in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, أعطيت, meaning I have been given, and the one who gave him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the favor of Allah, he bestows upon whom he wishes. And this is from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and upon this ummah. I have been given five. And this does not really make this as a restricted to five. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ gives the example of certain numbers, yet there may be something similar. But he wants to draw things nearer. Why? Because we say this because the Prophet ﷺ has other characteristics. And this ummah also is qualified by other characteristics. This is like the saying of Allah, this is like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, for example, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to on the day of resurrection. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ, and will not look at them. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ, and will not sanctify them, purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and they will have severe torment. Yet there will be others. There will be others. And this is also like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ. Seven that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in his shade. And there will be others. And so here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أُعْطِيتُ, I have been given, five things which were not given to anyone else before me. anyone else before me. Or he said before, because there will be no prophet after him. There will be no prophet after him. The first one is Nusirtu bil-Ru'b. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him, the first one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him victorious. Made him victorious by Al. Meaning, frightening his enemies. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills fears in the enemies of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for a distance of 1 month's journey. This fear, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills in the hearts of the enemies, as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr, 59:2, concerning the Bani Al-Nudayr, وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبِ يُخْرِبُونَ بِيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. He cast terror in their hearts so that they destroyed their own dwellings with their own hands and the hands of the believers. There is no doubt that casting terror in the hearts of the enemies is one of the great weapons of destruction, because the one in whose heart there is fear will not stand firm, rather will run away. It is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, weapon to be used against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this victorious matter, casting awe and fear, he said, for a distance of 1 month's journey. And this is to be carried in accordance with the means used then at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the journey on loaded camels. This is the journey, the time taken to conclude the journey by loaded camels, because this is not to be applicable for every time and place. Because if we say of this, then in our times, the month journey, you will reach the entire, you will traverse the entire earth, east and west. So, but here it refers to that which is, you know, known, or which was known at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, and this victory, which is affirmed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is also affirmed to his ummah. Those, however, who are guided by him, outwardly and inwardly. The second matter which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The earth has been made for me and for my followers now a place for praying and a thing to perform tayammum, meaning purifying. The earth is purifying. And this al-ard, the earth, covers all. It's a general, a place for prayer, meaning to conclude the prayer. And tahura, that which is used for purification. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalized and in his saying, describing the earth as tahur, purifying. And he didn't say, remember here, he didn't say the earth with soil, or the earth without stones, or with the stones. No. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the water from the heavens, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا Purifying. Used for purification, water, rain water. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا But the meaning is that this is the water which is purifying. Used for purification. So the earth is also tahur, purifying. Used for tayammum. Just like the water. نعم. Then he said, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّ Anyone of my followers can pray. Whenever the time of a prayer is due, then let him pray. Because he will have no excuse. And the prayer is due when its time is due. So let him pray in any place. Except with the exceptions which we'll talk except for these places which we will know that it is not allowed to pray in. As will come later. Why? Because if he says, I want to delay until I use the water for purification, we say in response, Al-Ard Tahur, the earth is purifying. And if he says, وَأَخِّرُ الصَّلَاةِ I will delay the salah, لِأَجِدَ مَكَانًا أَطْمَئِنُّ إِلَيْهِ أَكْثَرُ So that I find a place to where I will feel more tranquil in, and so forth. We tell him, الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدْ The earth is a praying place. You have no excuse. You have your tahur, which is the earth. You have your place of prayers, so therefore you don't have an excuse. And in this there is evidence, therefore, that the person who doesn't have the water, who doesn't find the water to pray at the time when the prayer is due. And it is not binding upon him to delay it till the end of the time of the prayer. However, the people of knowledge mentioned something here. They said, إِنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ يَرْجُ وُجُودَ الْمَاءِ If he anticipates finding the water, or he knows of its existence in some place, at the end of the time, then in this case he delays the salah until he finds the water. Okay, as the verse number, it is Surah Al-Furqan 25:48. Sorry, it's not 9:48. 25 Al-Furqan وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا And then he said, and we send down pure water from the sky. Now this is the point of evidence we mentioned earlier. The third matter which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمُ وَلَمْ تُحَلْ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي The third one, the booty has been made halal, lawful for me, yet it was not lawful for anyone else before me. Booties. This is what Muslims take from their enemies, from the combatant kafirs, the warriors, during the fighting and what follows that, and what's related to it. In the past, before the Prophet ﷺ, in the nations before, these booties used to be gathered in one place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send on it fire from heavens, and it will destroy it. So they used to gather these booties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send upon that, will send upon it fire to destroy. And it happened that if anyone would take anything from the booties, then the fire will not be sent, and so they will look to find who is the one who took from the booties, until they find him and take the booties and put it with the rest and gather that in one place, then the fire will be sent to destroy it. And this is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth matter mentioned in this hadith from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is وَأُعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ وَأُعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the intercession, the greater intercession. No one else except the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be given this intercession. And this will occur when people will be going through hardships that they cannot tolerate while awaiting for the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. This extends 50,000 years with its horrors, which will turn the child, will make his hair turn grey. So people will be having great distress that they cannot tolerate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires in them to go to Adam alayhi salam, the father of humanity, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created by his own hands, and whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the angels to prostrate to him, and whom Allah the Most High taught him the names of everything, and whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in his offspring the prophethood and the revelations. But he, Adam alayhi salam, ya'tadir, puts an excuse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires them to go to Nuh alayhi salam, the first messenger whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the people on the earth, and whom Allah praised him, as in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 3, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. But he declines and puts his excuse. Then they go to Ibrahim alayhi salam and he also puts forward his excuse. Then they go to Musa alayhi salam and the same. To Isa alayhi salam, Isa does not put an excuse, however. He declines to intercede here because of the presence of someone who is more deserving of that, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is from the wisdom of Allah azza wa jal, that Allah inspires them to go to these prophets and messengers. And then finally to Isa, who refers the matter to the one who more entitled and more fitting to that. And that is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they go to him. And so he intercedes for them with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to judge between his slaves. This intercession, no one received before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the most noble amongst mankind, are included. So Allah saved that for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is the favor of Allah. He bestows upon whom he wishes. No one puts a restriction on Allah, because the judgment is his and he does as he wishes. The fifth matter, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that, and he said, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. Every Prophet used to be sent to his nation only, but I have been sent to all mankind. اللهم صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه. يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ, يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ, will be sent to his nation, and then that's when there will be, that's when there are several nations. Why we mention this? Because with Nuh alayhi salam, his message is to the people of the earth. But at that time, they were not different nations, but people were one people, one nation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them Nuh then, and his story is known. From the benefits of this hadith, the favor of Allah upon this ummah, since he particularized to it certain qualities which were not given to the nations before. And this is included in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran in 3:10, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس, and you are the best of people ever raised up for mankind. Nothing equivalent to this statement addressing the nations before. However, with respect to Bani Israel, the children of Israel, Allah mentioned that he preferred them upon Al-Alameen, Al-Alameen, mankind. But the ulama mentioned that this term Al-Ulama meaning Alami Zamanihim, the mankind at their time, not the entire mankind. This is because this ummah, in agreement, is the best nation. The second benefit is the merit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that which he didn't give to any prophet before him. Third benefit is the good teaching of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and good way of education and educating, since he puts together things that of matters that are dispersed and scattered in one context, because this is better for comprehension by the heart and also by attracting attention by the ear. So things that may be scattered he puts them together in one context. The fourth benefit the favor of Allah upon His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by giving him this great weapon of casting terror in the hearts of his enemies. Would this also be applicable to any of his ummah? The answer, if this ummah is on the path of its Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then this will be affirmed for it, and there is no doubt, because the matter for which the Prophet was given victory, if it exists in this ummah, then victory will continue to be achieved. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 33, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. نعم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله. It is he who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of the truth, Islam, to make it superior over all religions, even though the mushriks hate it. And therefore we say, therefore, if there is a delay for victory, then this is due to a cause, and the causes of humiliation are many. From them is al-ma'asiyah, sin. Second, false pride. Third, lack of sincerity in jihad, like those who fight for nationalism. Victory is not guaranteed for them. However, if given, it may be, so that they be a check for others, not a victory for them. So it's important to remember that victory has its causes. And when the Ummah establishes that which its Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam established, and the rightly guided caliphs after him also, then it's inevitable that the victory will come. And anyone who follows the history will come to know that this is the truth. It will be a testimony for this. Fifth benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth as a masjid and tahura, purifying. Allah made ja'ala. And when you see the term ja'ala, then it falls into two categories in terms of the meaning. Ja'ala, made. This could be legal, and this could be creational, bringing to existence. It could be legal, and it could be creational, meaning bringing to existence. Like, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra 17:12, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. This is of the creational type. And we have appointed the night and the day as two ayat. The other example is on the other category, meaning the legal meaning of ja'ala, made, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:103. ما جعل الله من بحيرة، ما جعل الله من بحيرة، meaning Allah did not legislate, legalize. Allah has not instituted things like bahira, which is a she-camel whose milk was spared for the idols and nobody was allowed to milk it. This is not legalized by Allah. So you see the term ja'ala has two categories in terms of its meaning. First is creational, bringing into existence. The second is legal. The next benefit, all the earth is a praying place. So anyone who comes and see you praying and says that your salah is invalid in this place, then you tell him, what is your dalil, what is your evidence? And this generalization necessitates the validity of salah, of salatul fariida, in the inside the Kaaba. So it is valid as the nafil as well, because we know that the nafil prayer is affirmed in the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ prayed inside the Kaaba, and in principle anything affirmed in the nafil prayer, then it is also to be affirmed in the fard. Now, what are the exceptions? What are the exceptions for this generalization? First, the impure or filthy place. Then salah is not to be offered there. And the evidence for this, when the Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mosque and urinated inside the mosque, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam ordered that a bucket of water be brought and to be used to wash the place. So this indicates that the praying place must be pure, and this is an explicit textual proof. The second evidence is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:125, أن طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. أن طهر بيتي and purify my place for those who are circumambulating it. Or bowing or prostrating themselves there in prayer. And this covers both the physical, the tangible and intangible purification. The second exception is the cemetery, the graveyard. Salah is not valid in graveyards. And the evidence is in the hadith of Abi Mursid al-Ghanawi radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تصلوا إلى القبور, don't pray towards the graves. So don't make them the qibla, lest one would fall in the affliction of shirk. So by all means, praying between the graves takes precedence, that it is invalid. Also, the evidence is in what Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated in an isnad which is okay in terms of its authenticity, that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-ardu kulluha masjidun illa al-maqbara wal-hammam." The whole earth is a masjid except the cemetery, the graveyard, or Al-Hammam, the public bath. The public bath. So therefore, the cemetery or the graveyard, it is invalid to pray there, whether it is fard or nafil, and whether this is between the graves or behind the graves or in front of the graves or to the right or to the left of the graves. So So if you were in a cemetery, a large cemetery or a a wide one with many spaces in there where these spaces are empty, no graves in them, then praying in these places is incorrect because they fall still under the name of the graveyard. This is part of the graveyard. From this we take an evidence here for the keenness of the lawgiver to protect the Tawheed from every path that leads to shirk, because the fitna of the graves is not something easy. And this is from the greatest fitan afflicting the children of Adam, meaning the fitan of graveyards. How many in our times, as you know, are afflicted with this affliction of graves and grave worship, calling the occupants of the grave, seeking intercession through them, invoking them besides Allah, calling upon them, saying Ya Ali, O Hassan, O Hussein, O Badawi, O Jilani, O Qadiri, O Rifa'i, O Rumi. The third is the public path or the open place for calling for responding to the call of nature as it used to be in the past. And the bath is where people bathe and the places and the place where people used to go for to respond to the call of nature is known. In the past, people go and defecate and urinate there. This was known until recently even. So in these places it is not permissible to make salah. So also we know the prayers towards the grave, where the grave stands in front of the person, the salah in this place is not permissible, it's invalid. It's not because that this is something impure or filthy or the like. No, because having the grave in front of you is a means that leads to shirk. Because this could grow gradually, especially with the ignorant, and it turns from praying towards the grave to praying to the grave. The next place where the exception is A'tanul Ibil, the place where the camels kneel down and stay. And sleep in. So these places, for the camels, it is invalid to pray in them. And when he was asked, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about them, about these camel places, about the prayer in them, he said, no. They asked, Musalli fi marabid al-ghanam, can we pray in the places of sheep where they stay? He said, yes. Is it here because its dung is impure and filthy and its urine is also the same? No, this is not the reason behind forbidding praying in the
camel places, it is because these places are places where it is an abode for shaitan. Because the ibil, the camel, as came in the hadith, is created from shayateen. As insan, as man, is created, is made of haste. Meaning its nature is shaitanic, satanic. طبيعتها شيطانة. It doesn't mean that it is from the offspring of shaitan. Because the shaitan is another word. But this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning man in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:37. خلق الإنسان من عجل. خلق الإنسان من عجل. Man is made out, is made of haste. So its nature is shaitaniyya. So therefore its places will be an abode for shayateen. And that's why the salah is invalid there. So it's not related to its dung or urine. Now, but suppose man takes his camels out and it kneels to rest and to eat and so forth, and he does the same, he sets to relax and eat and so forth, and then it urinates and defecates and it urinates and then releases dung and so forth. Could this place be considered also as a place where it is not allowed to pray? The answer is no. Because this is not its abode. This is not its place, rather. Its usual and normal place where it stays and kneels. No. This is fine. Meaning salah is correct here, is valid in this place. Okay, the next place where some of, or with many scholars, consider as a place where it's not valid, salah is not valid, is forcefully confiscated lands taken by force unjustly, or houses the same, or any place taken from its owner unjustly, and you pray there. According to many scholars, the salah in these places is invalid. And the way they directed it is by saying that his stay in this place is disobedience and is forbidden. And it cannot be a place of obedience, to offer obedience, because of opposition. So, here you are disobedient, and in this place you want to perform the obedience, and that you are an obedient person, this is contradiction. So they concluded that the salah in these unjustly taken places from land and houses and so forth is invalid. And accordingly, anyone who stays in his rented house without the approval of the owner, then his salah is invalid. And similarly, there is no salah for his family, except if his family cannot pray in another place. Here they may pray, and the sin is upon the household, the head of the family. So if he says, I will stay renting without the approval of the landlord in accordance with the law, he may say, because in some countries, if someone rents a house or an apartment, it becomes like his property. He is not to leave it unless he feels so. In response, we say that the law cannot make the haram, the unlawful, lawful. And if you take the law as your pretext and use the authority for your side, then in this case, there is no doubt that you are oppressive, unjust. And if you take the law to be the judge between people, replacing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are at grave danger of being a mushrik. So the one who stays in accordance with the law and against the approval of the landlord is either he takes the law as a means of authority, and that you cannot evict me, because whatever you do, my stay is continuing. This person is disobedient, sinner, and no doubt about that, and transgressor. But if he takes the law to put it, gives it precedence above the law of Allah and His Messenger, then this is grave danger. And it is correct to say that he is mushrik. So the matter is really grave. So therefore, it's not permissible for anyone to live in someone else's property without his approval, even if he takes the law to his side. All of this is in accordance, as we have mentioned, in accordance with the first opinion. That, in accordance with the opinion of the majority of the scholars, that the salah is invalid under these situations we mentioned. The other opinion, and this is the correct opinion from the sayings of the scholars, is that the salah in the unjustly taken land is valid. However, he is sinful. Why? Because there is here separation in connection. The connection is not established. Why? Because the salah is obedience from the angle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that. And taking something unjustly, unrightly, and with force, etc., is forbidden from the angle that this is taking property unjustly. And there is no specific forbiddance of salah itself. Meaning, had the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لا تصلوا في أرض مغصوبة, don't pray in a unjustly overtaken land, if he had said this, then we would say the salah is invalid. Like when we say that the salah is invalid during the times when it is forbidden to pray, as in the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا صلاة بعد الصبح حتى تطلع الشمس. There is no salah after الصبح, after Fajr, until the sun rises. So now, if anyone now during this period prays a salah which has no cause, after Salat al-Fajr, he prays a salah that has no cause to pray, we say your salah is invalid and you are sinful. So therefore, the correct opinion is that as-salah fi al-ard al-maghsuba sahih. The salah in the unjust, the overtaken land is correct. However, the person is sinful in staying in this place. So now, back to the original discussion. In principle, the earth is a valid place. The whole earth is a valid place for salah. Take this principle, and if anyone objects to you, tell him, give me the evidence, the dalil. As to the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that the salah is invalid in seven places, this hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, in its isnad there is Zayd bin Jabira, and he is da'if, is weak, and this hadith is weak, and it's in, cannot be taken as a valid evidence or a proof. The next benefit. The entire earth is a place for tayammum, to perform dry ablution. كل الأرض, all the earth. Because the Prophet ﷺ generalized when he said, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And the whole earth had been made a place of prayer and a place for tayammum. So therefore, it is valid to perform tayammum on rocky earth, on sandy earth, on wet earth, kullu al-ard, entire earth. Now if someone says, well, the sandy one or the wet one or the rocky one, there is no dust on it, so therefore the tayammum is invalid, we say, who said that the dust is a condition? While we know that the hadith is general, and we know that the Prophet ﷺ knows that people travel during winter days, and the winter days are days of rain or wetness or dryness and the like, and he ﷺ traveled to Tabuk, and on his way there are so much sand, and he took sandy roads, and people made tayammum. So therefore, accordingly, tayammum using any parts of the earth is correct and permissible, whether it has soil or dust on it or not. The condition, however, is that it is to be pure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa 4:43, صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا تَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Perform tayammum with clean earth. This is a point of evidence. The next benefit. It is not mandatory to seek the water before the due time of prayer, because the hadith أدركته الصلاة, however, whenever the time of prayer is due. The next benefit, there is no distinction with regard to tayammum between men and women in the ruling. next benefit, whoever meets the due time of Salah and does not find the water, then it is permissible for him to make the Salah with Tayammum, even though he may know the presence of water at the end of the time. Because here the Prophet ﷺ said, أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ, whenever the time of prayer is due. Some of the people of the knowledge, however, mentioned that if he comes to know the presence of water at the end of the time, then in this case it is binding upon him to delay. And this may have some validity to it. Why? Because praying in the beginning of the due time of Salah is a sunnah. And using the water when it's present is wajib, is binding. It's not permissible to delay the time, to delay the Salah beyond its time, even if one knows that he will find the water shortly. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيُصَلِّ, then let him pray. And because this is supported by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa 4:103, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Verily, the prayer is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours. The next benefit of this hadith is the making permissible the bounty, the booties for this ummah, taking the booties. When he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Muhillat li al-ghanaim," and the booties had been made lawful for me. And this brings another benefit, the permissibility of abrogating the laws. Whether this is in relevance to the same revelation or same rulings in one Sharia, or with respect to the rulings in different Sharias. The permissibility to abrogate holds on either account. The next benefit is the merit of the Prophet ﷺ by being given the shafa'ah, the intercession. And this also brings another benefit, and that is ithbatu shafa'ah, the affirmation of the intercession. And the ummah is in agreement that the greater intercession is affirmed. Meaning, this is said by the Sunni and the innovators, that the greater intercession is affirmed for the Prophet ﷺ. However, the intercession regarding the people of major sins, this is not affirmed by the deviant sects of the Mu'tazilites and the Khawarij, the dissident rebellions. Why? Because they see that the major sin doer is in hell forever. So therefore it's not possible for him to receive intercession. But to the contrary, this is incorrect. And what is correct is that it is affirmed even to the major sin doers. And the evidence for this is replete in the books of creed. The next benefit of this hadith, the universality of the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he said وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامًا, and I have been sent to all mankind. Next benefit, it's not permitted or it's not possible to change the Sharia due to change of time. It's not possible to change the Sharia with the change of times. Otherwise, the universality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message would not be as such. It would not be universal. However, whatever is restricted in terms of benefits, this may change with the change of conditions. I mean, what is known by way of Sharia, that such and such is linked to benefits, then there is no doubt that it may change in accordance with conditions. However, in terms of the usul, the foundations, this cannot be abrogated. The next benefit, the universality of the Prophet ﷺ's message is restricted to him alone and not to any other prophet, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً, and the Prophet used to be sent to his nation only. Now if someone says أَلَيْسَ نُوح بُعِثَ إِلَى النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا, isn't it that Nuh was sent to entire mankind? We say لأنه لا يوجد في ذلك الوقت إلا قومه, because at his time there were no people present except his people. This brings the end of the discussion of this great hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me and you from those who will receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of resurrection. And I ask him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us from those who follow his sharia in the way that pleases Allah the Most High. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.